A few years ago, if you open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, we'll get there in a moment. A few years ago, I read a story about Xander, who was a 7-year-old husky. And Xander, the dog, his owner was put in a hospital in New York City about 2 miles from where they ordinarily lived. And Xander was so in love with her owner that when he went to the hospital, he began to just cry and whine and carry on to the point that the wife of the family didn't know what to do with the dog. Well, one day she found out that he was missing, and Xander had actually found his way all the way to the hospital. Now, this would probably not be a big deal, except for this was in New York City. And so 2 miles, Xander made his way through the city traffic, across major intersections, across dangerous intersections, to the hospital itself, and sat at the door of the hospital trying to get in before somebody recognized the dog and attention was brought to the owner of the dog. Somehow, he figured to himself, he told himself, well, you know, he must have been coming to see me. It's the only thing that made sense. And so they took Xander back to his home, and just a couple of days later again, Xander made his way almost all the way back to the hospital before somebody stopped him, afraid that he was going to be run over and killed. The wife of the family said that he just whined and cried out a loss for his owner until finally he came home. Those emotions are a little bit of the emotions that I have felt for the last couple of months with you as a congregation moving to Yoda. It is a personal loss not to have every single week the opportunity to see many of you and to enjoy the kind of company and fellowship that we've had over the years. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know that God is in what He's doing in your lives, and this is an answer to you, but I miss that already. And so this morning is just kind of, it pulls on my heartstrings, kind of like Xander felt. Watching you leave emotionally is a difficult thing for me as well. And so I asked the Lord, what passage of Scripture this morning would speak to the kind of relationship that we've had between our congregations all these years, close and intimate and personal, sharing buildings together, doing ministry together, being involved together for the kingdom, and what passage of Scripture would speak to us at this point? And I was drawn to Philippians chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles open to Philippians chapter 1, let me read the first 12 verses of this passage of Scripture for us this morning. They are verses that tell us a lot about the heart of Paul. But they remind us that, brothers and sisters, we still need each other. We need each other as congregations. And it's not just that, Rochester Hmong, you need us. We need you as well. We need the kind of relationship that we've had, and we need even more of it than what we've experienced at this point. When we look at your history, we can go all the way back to Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam, and we can see that, as Pastor Nia shared with us a moment ago. But even just here in shared history here in Rochester, we're reminded that in 1984, Laotians, Hmong, and Cambodians, they relocated from Des Moines to Rochester. Some of you may have been a part of that group that came up from Des Moines. But here in this place, a group of people begin to meet together in the congregations. And in 1986, Ron Buzzard came to pastor this mission congregation of the nations from Southeast Asia. Ron just left, as most of you know, less than a year ago. But he was used of God here in this place to begin the work that we now see flourishing in Iota, under your leadership and Pastor Nia. In 1989, the Hmong congregation itself split off from the rest of the congregation and became a church of their own and began the process of being a mission church. By 2002, fully constituted as a church here in Rochester, as the Hmong Baptist Church of Rochester. And then finally this year, you purchased your own building. At every step of the journey, God has guided you in this process. He's led you just like He led you across the mountains and across the Mekong River. God has been there leading you in the process. These are the men that have pastored the church. Pastor Mon, her, who was here initially. Pastor Nia, her, was here early on and then came back Pastor Law, I remember when Pastor Nia was pastoring. I remember when Pastor Law was pastoring. Pastor Hua Yang. And then finally again, to be blessed with Pastor Nia Her again as the pastor of this church. These are the men that God called to lead your congregation. And we've been in close relationship with these men all through the journey. I have access to things that most people don't have access to. And so I was able to pull up pictures off of our MWBC drive of historical things going on in the convention. And I found these pictures here that meant a lot to me. And they were snapshots of this journey along the way as God called you as a people to Rochester and begin to build this great church that you're a part of today. And you recognize the faces on these screens. These are men that have been a part of your congregation and of your ministry. David Turner, who worked intimately with you in years. Pastor Nia there in that upper left-hand picture. The picture on the right of Pastor Nia, I think that was used in a national magazine talking about what God was doing through the Hmong people and through Pastor Nia. Down on the bottom left, I can't see it very well. I think that is that Pastor Her, Ma Her there at that point. And then on the right in the center, Zong Vu is there in the middle of it. But you might not recognize him because it's been a few years ago, Zong Vu. And yet, these are leaders that have been a part of God leading you, but they've been men that we have worked with and enjoyed their company and enjoyed their faith and been inspired by their vision as well. We have been two churches like this for many years in a close and intimate relationship. And we have been, as Emmanuel, intensely blessed by the inspiration of what God has done in your lives as you take the gospel to the world. That's why when we come to Philippians, this passage is so critically important for us. Because Paul, the Apostle Paul, loved the Philippian church. And maybe even more than any church, in honesty, when we read the text. These were people that he knew and he loved. And the emotions that Paul was experiencing when he wrote the book of Philippians are the emotions I feel today as we gather together as two congregations in a joint worship. They are emotions because there is so much history gathered together. For Paul, he had brought the gospel to Philippi, and we have a recording of that in Acts 16. He established this church at Philippi. He stayed in Lydia's house there for months, and they repeatedly sent support of his ministry during the years that Paul was doing his missionary journeys. And so this was a church that he was intimate with and he loved in many ways. And he knew the people well. You remember the story of Lydia in Acts chapter 16, who is meeting. They don't have enough people to have a synagogue. And so Lydia is a part of a group of Jewish women that are meeting outside the city gate. And Paul goes and finds them and shares the gospel with them. And they respond and they begin meeting in Lydia's house. And this church is born out of this relationship that takes place. You might remember the demon-possessed girl that the man was making lots of money off of. And Paul casts out the evil spirit out of this girl, and she becomes sane through the presence of God. Or you might even remember the story of the Philippian jailer. Remember they arrest Paul, put him in jail. In the middle of the night, the earthquake comes. The Philippian jailer, knowing that he is going to pay a price for his life if they get free, Paul turns to him and says, "Don't take your life. We're all here." And the man comes to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior with that famous question, "What must I do to be saved?" And so we know a lot about this church. We know a lot about these people that Paul loved. And so when we see the book of Philippians, we're reading a thank you note to one of Paul's favorite churches. It's about joyfully working together to advance the gospel. That's what we've been doing together all along. That's what we continue to do together as we look into the future, is just like what we see here in this passage of Scripture. So follow along as I read this out loud to us. This is Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from this first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Indeed, it is right for me to think this way about all of you because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve of the things that are superior and may be pure, blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we read this text today, we're reminded of the emotions that Paul felt for this church that he loved, for his partnership with this church. And we can't help but today feel many of those same emotions of being with our brothers and sisters, having shared some 30 years together on this journey of following after you. And yet, Father, you have called them and you are using them in incredible ways beyond anything that we could have imagined. And today, as we meet here in this place, both of us give thanks to you for each other. And we pray, Father, that you'll continue to use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me be brief this morning to you as we see this passage. But I hope it becomes clear that what we see is an example, really, for us of what's happening here between Paul and this church and what I see really happening between our two churches as we continue on into this relationship. Paul's hopes and dreams and prayers for the Ephesians are an example for us today, for us as we work together and as we continue to relate together on into the future. So there are 8 points to the sermon, and there'll be nothing more hardly than just reading the text for us. So the great food that's next door that we're all invited to share afterwards will not grow cold because of the sermon. You can relax. These things that I'd like to share with you here in this passage are brief. First of all, we wish grace for each other. Both Emmanuel wishes this for Rochester Hmong, and Rochester Hmong wishes this for Emmanuel. Likewise, we wish peace for each other. These were the heart of Paul here in this moment for us. We give thanks for each other. We will fellowship with each other, not just today, but ongoing in the future. We will continue in our love for each other. We will continue to pray for each other. We will continue to advance the gospel together as God uses us to his honor and his glory. So let's look real quick at what the Bible says and what Paul says to us here. First of all, we're talking about grace and peace. This is the opening of a letter. This is typical of Paul's letters, as most of you know. He would say, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is the way he wrote to the churches. These were not empty words. They were meaningful words that Paul was using here in this passage. And they were different words than what was commonly used in his world. Now, yes, the Jewish people would use the word peace, but Paul alone added the word of grace. And so this combination of this unusual greeting that he often meant was a blessing or a prayer for the people that he was writing to. So let's begin with that first one. We wish grace for each other. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to the saints of Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, grace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about what this means, we come to Jesus by grace. You do not earn your way into a relationship with God. None of us are good enough to earn our way to heaven. It comes to us by the grace of God. He gifts us with a relationship with him. And so our relationship with God starts by grace, not because we were good enough or because we earned it. He gave it to us out of his grace. We live every day by grace, because are there any sinners in the room today? Oh, come on, get them all up. Because we need the grace of God day by day for the things that we think, the things that we do, the brokenness in our lives. We are constantly in need of the grace of God because we never live up to the perfect standards of God. And so we live by grace as we live in this world in a fallen state. But we relate to each other also by grace. And so when Paul says, grace and peace from God our Father, what he's saying to you is the very relationship that you have with God is based upon grace. The way you get through every day is based upon the grace of God. And how you relate to each other is not by judging each other or criticizing each other, but it's by grace. And so we live literally by grace. And what Paul wants for the church to experience is this overflowing of the grace of God that we would extend, that would come from the Father, that would be lived out in our lives and extended to one another in this beautiful, beautiful relationship that covers all sin. And so Paul wishes that for the people at Philippi. And we wish for each other that we again and more and more and more would abound in the grace of God, that we would know the grace of God, that it would enrich our lives and overflow into each other. That's the wish that Paul had for the church at Philippi. And that's what we hope for each other as we continue in the ministry that God has called to us, living by God's grace. When we receive God's grace, then we can know God's peace. So grace and peace from God our Father, the two are intricately connected. You cannot know the peace of God until you've received the grace of God. And so when we receive that grace, then we can know God's peace. And so that's the second peace that we see here. Again, the same verse, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of you probably know that the Jews would say to each other when they would greet each other, they still do this even to this day, shalom, which means peace. May God's peace rest upon you. May God's well-being rest upon you. Peace. And so Paul's prayer for the church at Philippi was the same. Not only do I want you to experience the grace of God, but I want you to know the peace of God that can rule and reign in your lives. And so for us too, as we come today in a world that is turbulent, messed up, and destroyed, strife everywhere we go, we can know the peace of God if we've experienced the grace of God. And so we wish for each other, especially in this Christmas season when we focus upon the Prince of Peace, to know the peace that God offers to us. Third, we give thanks for each other. Really, when you look at this entire passage, there's a greeting and then there's a long prayer where Paul is praying for the church at Philippi and he remembers some things in the midst of that. And so today as we sit here, we give thanks for each other. We give thanks to what God has done at Rochester Hmong as well as what He's done at Emmanuel. Emmanuel, is it not encouraging to know that in the history of this church, God has used us to be a part of the Hmong people coming to know Christ here in this place? Is it encouraging? Amen. You set for us an example and a reminder of the power of God and the evidence of what God has done in your lives you have taken to the world. It's an encouragement to us to see that. We give thanks to you. But we also, as Paul says, we give thanks to our God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from this day until now. And so we have done that. In our weekly newsletter that we send out at Emmanuel, some of you get it at the Rochester Hmong Church as well. We pray for you on a regular basis. We pray for Pastor Nia every single week. He's a part of who we're calling out to God as your leader to be able to see the power of God released in you. And we give thanks to God for being able to have the kind of relationship that we have with you and that we have together with God the Father Himself. Fourth, when we look at this passage, we will continue to fellowship with each other. This is rich when we look at this word here. It's beyond a translation. You can't get one English word. I doubt you can get one Hmong word to cover what this word means. Paul says, I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership. Partnership. Now, I like the word partnership, but I don't like the word partnership. Partnership sounds like something that we do as business partners in the business world. And I don't think there's probably a better word than partnership that could have been translated out of the Greek. However, the word is much richer than that. Literally, the Greek word is koinonia, and some of you know that word, which means fellowship or a sense of being together or sharing together. And so we have this rich fellowship with each other. And that's what Paul is talking about here. We've had a history of this rich fellowship with each other. It's an ongoing thing that God will continue to use. We're not only partnering with each other, we're not only in rich, deep fellowship with each other, but there is a sense in which we're sharing life and sharing Jesus with each other. It's a part of who we are together as God's children, together in a relationship for His kingdom, good and glory. And everything God does when He uses us blesses us, folks. And so it is good. It's an incredible blessing when we experience the love of God together. Because in this world, there's so much brokenness. There's so many things that can divide us. Only Christ can pull us together and unite us for the glory of God. Only Christ! But in Him, it doesn't matter whether you're from Laos, Montana, Minnesota, Cambodia, Vietnam, or Texas. It does not matter where you're from. In Christ, we are His children. We are brothers and sisters in a relationship, not just with Him, with each other. We're in fellowship together. And that's what Paul fully understood and wanted us to understand, that when God, through Christ, is our Father, then we are brothers and sisters who know Jesus together. The beauty of what Paul says here is he wants to see that continue in every way. And that is our desire as churches, that we would see that fellowship, that partnership continue as God uses us together, draws us together for His glory. Fifth, we will continue in our love for each other. I like the way this passage words it, because there's so many places here in this passage. But when you look here, it says, I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace. How deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. Doesn't the emotion just pour out of that? I literally felt that when I found out that God had given you a building, there was that part of me that was rejoicing in that, and there was the other part that was saying, whoa, Lord, I won't see him every week. There was that sense of loss because of the love and the relationship that we've enjoyed for all these years. And Paul had that, this deep affection for the people at Philippi, this deep desire to continue to be together and to be with his people. God desires that for us, that we would be a people marked by love, the love that transforms our life through Jesus Christ, then unites us together as his children. And it's a supernatural kind of love that doesn't matter what the differences are, it matters the sameness in Christ that is there. And so we continue in our love for each other. This past week, maybe you saw some of the funeral for President George Herbert Walker Bush. One of the things that I really was drawn to were these pictures. Did any of you see these? Yeah, this is his service dog, President Bush. And they showed Sully at several different occasions, not just this one of sitting in front of George Bush's casket, but also this one that just said it all to me. When there's separation between the people that you love, there's a sadness that comes with that. The loss that comes with that. And yet, in Christ, we're still in the same town. You're 12 miles away. We have to work a little harder at being together. But the love that God has given to us can continue to grow. Our love for each other and our desire to serve the Lord together needs to continue to grow. It's a part of what God is doing in us. Number six, we're getting close. We will continue to pray for each other. This passage, as I've already said, is just one prayer after another of all these things that Paul wishes for the church at Philippi. He's giving thanks to God and always praying with joy in every prayer. That's pretty clear, isn't it? What's Paul doing for the church at Philippi? He's praying for them. His passion and His love for them is fraught out through prayer. Just like you and I have to continue to pray for each other. You know, we live in a cold world where the world's not exactly excited about Christians anymore. Have you noticed that? We need each other, and we need to pray for each other, and to continue to draw strength from each other, and lift each other up regularly in prayer, so that the Father might be able to work in our lives, to bring His grace into fruition, and give us the peace of God that passes all understanding in everything that we experience. Number 7, we will continue to grow in Christ. Paul is praying for that here at this point. And notice this, he does this in multiple ways. If we had time, this would take us 2 hours to unpack everything that's here. We'll not even try. I will pray this, he says, that your love will keep on growing. So he puts an emphasis on their love growing. And your knowledge would keep on growing. And your discernment would keep on growing. So that you may approve of the things that are superior. So you'll be able to understand the wisdom of God and His Word. And may be pure in the way that you live and blameless in the day of Christ. And filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's what Paul is praying for. He's praying for this ongoing growth in the Spirit of God in our lives. I can see that so clearly in the Hmong leadership. I can see a passion. I watch the Facebook posts and I see the things that God has put on your heart. And you're praising God. You're lifting Him up. You are an inspiration to us that God has continued to grow and grow and grow and grow in you in an amazing way. The presence of God. I remember a number of years ago being at a pastor's retreat. We had a number of Hmong pastors. Pastor Nia, do you remember when my friend came up from Georgia and he was doing a prayer conference? And we had some interaction with the pastors over a conversation that was taking place. And one of your pastors, one of the Hmong pastors, asked a question. And we tried to answer the question and we didn't even come close to answering the question. And so this friend of mine who spoke Laotian, he said, "Can I have a shot at this?" And so he started talking Laotian, and it amazes me how many languages you folks are able to handle. He started talking Laotian, and it was very clear that everything he said was being understood. And I watched, apparently, something that the pastors had been struggling to understand for a number of years became completely and totally clear in those few moments. And I felt like I was watching the book of Acts unfold again in the life of the Hmong people. It was a supernatural moment. Those are the kind of inspirations I've seen as God has worked in you that just make the hair stand up on the back of my neck. Not because I had anything to do with it, I didn't. But to see it and to be inspired by the activity of God in your lives is a blessing. To watch you continue to grow. And to pray for you to continue to grow. And for you to pray for us to continue to grow. Because one of the things that the American church needs more than anything else is a sense of believing again that God can transform the lives of people. And God has given us a glimpse of that in the life of the Hmong people. You remind us over and over and over again that God is still about changing the lives of people. That people are still coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so as God uses you and as you grow, you inspire us to grow in our devotion and in our faith as well. And all of this ultimately ends up that you and I will continue as congregations to continue to advance the gospel itself. Because that's the focus of all that Paul is talking about here. In all of these things, with this great church that Paul loves so passionately, he wants to understand that maybe the pinnacle of all that God is doing is God is advancing the gospel because of the relationship that we have together as the people of God. And that is more and more true every day as I understand, as I believe I understand what God is doing to us and through us here in Minnesota and Wisconsin with Emmanuel Baptist and Rochester Hmong Baptist. God is giving us opportunities to advance the gospel to the ends of the earth. Anybody recognize any of those countries on the map? This map is a map that approximates. And probably if my Hmong brother and sisters had put this map together themselves, they probably wouldn't be even this clear, because I have a feeling the Hmong people are in many more places than just this. But when we look at this, take a look at that map. When you look at it, you've got northern Vietnam, you got northern Laos and southern Laos, you got kind of the mid-level of Vietnam itself, and you got southern China. Where are the hardest places, or some of the hardest places to take the gospel in the world today? Two out of four of those are among the most difficult places in the world to take the gospel. And yet, your families and your friends live in those areas. And Pastor Nia goes back to those areas. And you have gone and you've taken the gospel to those areas. And over the course of the last couple of years, it gathered in my mind. I really feel like the Lord is percolating this among us now at this point, to the point where we're working on a 3-year project to join Hmong believers in proclaiming Jesus into Southeast Asia. If we could garner the churches of the Minnesota-Wisconsin Baptist Convention to partner under the leadership of Hmong leaders like Pastor Nia and Zong Vu and all the other leaders that are here, with what you know and the relationships you have, if together God could use us to do what Paul is talking about here, to advance the gospel so that people would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I don't think it's an accident that God is miraculously, in an incredible reviving ways, percolating the gospel among the Hmong people in the places that are hard to reach. Sometimes I think we make things too hard. When God shows us step number one, step number two, can we sometimes see what step number three is? Isn't it sometimes obvious? And so God takes a people and He calls a people to Himself, the Hmong people. And they come into a glorious relationship with Christ. And they transform. The numbers are phenomenal. How many Hmong people have come to know Jesus as their Savior in the last 30 years. Inspiring. They are people that come from some of the most difficult places in the world to get a gospel witness. And God puts them in a place like Minnesota, which doesn't make any sense to me, honestly. You know, the fact that you move from Southeast Asia into Minnesota just blows my mind. But in the wisdom of God, wouldn't it make sense for us as brothers and sisters, fellow churches, to join together to get behind you and to help you as you reach out into the places that God is planting the gospel? I think that's what the Lord is doing in our midst. We are a microcosm on a small scale. God is doing that here in this place in a way that could be much greater for the kingdom good and for His glory, uniting us together to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. Most of you probably recognize what that is. That's the Great Wall of China. That is the largest built thing that mankind has ever put together. Over 13,000, now think about that, 13,000 miles this wall covers. What's the circumference of the earth, anybody that's in physical science class? Ben, what's the circumference of the earth? Somewhere 26,000 plus? 26,000 miles is my memory, but I know I'm probably not right on. You're talking about close to halfway around the world if you unfurled this thing. Massive, massive construction. Built over the course of over 2,000 years. Much of what you see in this picture was built during the Ming Dynasty, somewhere between 1300 A.D. and 1650 A.D., roughly. But unbelievable. And everybody thought it was impenetrable. There was no way you could get over the wall of China. It was too big. It was too well defended. As you could see, you could ride chariots down, moving between sections and move troops. There was no way that China could ever be destroyed or invaded. And yet, when you go back and you read Chinese history, it wasn't just once. It was over and over and over again the Great Wall was penetrated. Probably most Americans will recognize Genghis Khan as one of the ones that broke through the wall with his armies and took over much of China. But it wasn't just Genghis Khan, it was others as well. You see, when we look at the world in which we live today, it seems impossible to get to some of the places that need to know Jesus as their Savior. It seems impossible to take the great commission that Jesus gave us, to go and make disciples of all nations. And yet with the Spirit of God, if Genghis Khan can get through that wall, The Spirit of God has no trouble, no trouble at all, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. I believe that you, as the Hmong people, are one of the keys to that right now. And God's already validated it. You are inspiring us to join you in what God is doing. So Rochester Hmong, we praise God for you. We literally, in the terms that Paul has given to us here, we believe that together we can touch the world with the gospel. And I, pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, and many of you, my friends, people that I love dearly, we give thanks to our God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in our every prayer because of your partnership into the gospel from the first day 30 years ago until now. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this congregation and for their leaders. Lord, I thank you for the passion that they have for your Son, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the way that they paid for their faith in desperate and dangerous ways. And Lord, I thank you for the inspiration and the brotherhood that is ours to know them and to see what you're doing in their lives. Oh God, will you not only continue to do it in them, but will you do it again in us? For your honor and for your glory, hold us together as your people. May our love for each other grow deeper and stronger. May our faith in you grow deeper and stronger for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.